Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So Brad, last week, like right after we stopped recording, Disney announced that the Shop Disney Parks app was going away. And I realized that this doesn't really seem that like that big of a deal. But man, when Claire and I were at Disney World, the last time we were there for a week, the Shop Disney Parks app was having this thing all week where you could get free shipping on everything. And so what we did was, when we went to shop in the stores, we would find the item we wanted, scan the barcode with it, and order it, and just have it delivered to our house. And so we bought, you know, the amount of stuff we would have, but we didn't have to actually like purchase any of it at the place. We bought it all in the app. We made as many different orders as we had to, and it was all shipped for free. And like, we had such a good experience with this app. And so when I saw that it was closed, or when it was going away, it kind of made me like maybe too sad. But, like, it was
you weren't expecting to get this down over an app leaving.
An app that is just specifically like, there is nothing about this app but, hey, spend a ton of money. You know, this is not the My Disney Experience, unlock your room door, make your fast passes, make your dining reservations. This app is its only job, its only purpose in life is, hey, you like to buy things, right? Well, here's an easy way to buy things. And back in the day, they had it's what seemed like every single item. If it was available in the park, it was available in the app. And I have noticed that in the past, I don't know, few months, maybe almost to a year, that the selection has started to differ. Like, I'll see posts online about like, hey, this mug is here, or this, you know, plush thing is here.
Spork, and then, maybe. As a for example.
Oh, I did see that. We went to a Disney store. Near Austin.
You've seen a Forky in person now?
I have, yes. I have seen the plush Forky. But yeah, it's just like, it was such a cool app and it was such a cool idea. And I'm really sad that it's going away.
I am not ecstatic that it's going away, because even outside of being able to buy things, even when something was only available in the store in the parks, it was nice to be able to find it in the app. So even when I'm here in Texas, I can look at it and want it badly, right?
Right.
And it says in store only, and then I get all sad, but at least I can see that it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other advantage to this app to me was, here is this thing that I want that I've heard about. Let me find out where it is without having to go to every store on property, or going to a store and having a cast member like help me find that item. But at the same time, I guess I'm still kind of waiting to see how this all shakes out, because essentially what the Shop Disney Parks app is telling you to do now is download the Shop Disney app, right? That's what we're moving to, is the Shop Disney app. And Shop Disney has been continuing to carry more and more park merchandise. So if they keep the same selection available, and I'm not talking about the end part, you know, the in-store only stuff, but the stuff that you could order and have sent to you, if they keep that available in the shop, in the, oh my goodness, because I keep wanting to say Shop Disney Parks, but no, it's just right. Shop Disney. If they right. keep that available in the Shop Disney app, I'm less concerned about it, because I do know that the other thing they are planning to do is they are planning to move a lot of the store locator stuff into the My Disney Experience app.
And that makes sense.
It does. It also continues to make the My Disney Experience app more bloated, which kind of concerns me.
Man, I really, really wish they would make the first screen you see in that app a launcher, and just have circles with like dining and FastPass and shopping and like, just because it's so complicated to try and do stuff in that app, because they're trying to just integrate everything. And I really feel like that app should be, you know, 5, 6, 7 different apps in one app. You know what I mean? Where like you go into the FastPass zone and you do your FastPasses, and you go into the dining zone and you do your dining. And then you have like the home zone or whatever, where like it displays all that stuff for you. But I really feel like they need to make a way to separate that stuff, because yeah, they keep adding and adding and adding and adding, and it keeps getting more and more and more cluttered.
Yeah, so the other day I was actually showing a coworker how to do FastPass. And I said, well, here, let me just pull up the app, because I know that I have a ticket on my account, so I can make FastPasses, and I'll just show you what it is to make a FastPass. I pulled up the app and I went, where do I make FastPasses in this app now? And then I hit the little plus arrow, and then I hit the get FastPass. And I was also explaining to them how you would, you know, get your first fast pass, then get in line and start trying to adjust the time on your second fast pass. And again, everything I feel like had moved since the last time I had done this. So it is a bit, and perhaps it has to do with how infrequently I visit the parks. But it feels like everything is moving around every time that I go back into this app. So it's going to be one more thing, but I do feel like the store locator makes a lot of sense in there. And I did notice that the Shop Disney app does still have the camera functionality in the search. So you can turn it on and it says, you know, use it to scan QR codes or barcodes for items that you find. So it seems like a lot of that functionality is going into there. It could still be a bad thing that Shop Disney Parks is going away, but I think they could still make all the functionality work. Though we don't get all the cool bonuses, right? Because I think they kept doing all sorts of really nice free shipping and 25% off and all that sort of stuff. We might get less of that, and that's not cool, but it is what it is.
We had such a cool experience because, you know, I was like, well, it's going to be the same difference whether we order it in this app and have it shipped to the house, or we buy it and then have to figure out how to get it home. So let's just have it shipped to the house. And then it was like 2 days after we got back from our trip, all these boxes started to arrive, and it was amazing. So I hope they you know, leave some of that functionality, or bring some of that functionality, I guess, over to the Shop Disney app. But it is the end of an era for me, because we really like that app.
Oh, well, I'm sure you'll be testing out the Shop Disney and My Disney Experience app on your next trip, because you're still not going to have to haul all that stuff back home.
Yeah, definitely. They also last week announced that the first piece of track for the Tron Light Cycle Power Run in the Magic Kingdom is officially installed, which is incredibly exciting. And I know that this is not scheduled to be open when we are both going to be there, but man, this roller coaster looks so cool. And I've looked at the one in Shanghai, and I've watched videos of the one in Shanghai, and man, if there was some miracle that would let this roller coaster be operational by the time I get there, I would be incredibly thankful, because that thing looks amazing.
It would have to be a pretty major miracle, I think, for it to meet that timeline, unfortunately. As much as I would love to see it as well, and like you said, I remember when we were talking about this roller coaster when Shanghai was opening, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember how badly we wanted it at that point. So I can take some comfort in knowing that eventually I will supposedly get a chance to ride it. And that's kind of what I'm holding on to right now. So, yeah, a piece of track in is a lot closer. And it's nice that, you know, the piece of track being put on isn't... They didn't get two support beams up and then hang a piece of track between them. Quite a bit of work has been done on the Tron coaster. There's a lot of support beams up there.
It looks like a bowl of spaghetti. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's like, of course, I cannot remember the name of the copy of Rock and Roller Coaster that's in, it's somewhere in Europe. But if you, I know people, you know, are terrified of Space Mountain because they feel like their hands are going to get chopped off. But if you look at what Rock and Roller Coaster looks like out in the open, like that looks like a tangled bowl of spaghetti. Like it is terrifying to think that that's what Rock and Roller Coaster looks like. I'll see if I can find the video and we'll put it in the show notes. But
yes, that would be Express Platform 13.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, yeah, that looks awesome. I've imagined, like, I've tried to imagine what I think a launched roller coaster while laying forward on my stomach would feel like, but I can't, I don't even have a frame of reference.
Probably less like something's going to get cut off. So I'm a fan. So let's get the rest of those pieces taken out, put it together, and let me ride on my Tron cycle already, dadgummit.
And open it unthemed. For September.
Yeah, yeah.
And then again in December.
There you go. Disney, we've solved it for you. Get it done.
Okay, so something came out, or something was announced today that I think is incredible. And that is...
Incredible, that's the word you're going to go... Incredible is the word you're going to go with?
I can't... So this is, again, in the long saga of... things Disney is doing to try to distract people from Galaxy's Edge opening. From June 1st to June 30th, Disney's bringing back Soarin' Over California to Disney California Adventure.
Yeah, I don't know incredible or just like wild that this was, because it's, ostensibly this is because of Galaxy's Edge, right?
Yeah.
So again, I've seen people saying that this is to lower Galaxy's Edge. But how? Like, Galaxy's Edge attendance is a fixed product, right? There's so many reservations. Those have all been taken up. So the people who are going to go are going to get to go either way.
Well, but I think maybe the hope would be that, like,
just get you people leave from early. One park to the other park or something?
Yeah. Like, okay. Maybe you have your Galaxy's Edge reservation, and then, oh my gosh, but we also have to go do Soarin'. And so maybe you leave before you have to?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You still have all day. I want to know if they're going to bring it back over there, when are they going to bring it back to Walt Disney World?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the way that Soarin' is, you could ostensibly run both shows.
Yeah, you know? you'd have to change out the smellitizers, right? Because
sure.
The smells are different. Yeah, because I'm thinking specifically, I know that there's the like savanna scene in Soarin' Around the World with the dirt. Was the dirt smelling?
But
California
you could
too?
but you could install duplicate nozzles, you know, and have the correct one triggered for the show. I don't think they would do that. That's too much overhead. But
that's too much that can go wrong too. You just doubled the amount of things that can go wrong on your show.
It's just a truly a simple thing for them to bring back Soarin' Over California to DCA, and I do think it's going to make at least a little bit of a difference to perhaps not Galaxy's Edge, but to Disneyland overall, because this will get some people to go over to DCA and maybe stay at DCA for a day instead of spending the day in Disneyland.
Yeah, and I suppose whatever you can do to get people out, you will take advantage of that. So,
well, yeah, because like you were saying last week, people who don't have reservations may just want to be there. You know, there's going to be people who just want to be at Disneyland when this moment happens that don't necessarily have a reservation for Galaxy's Edge, but they just want to be there and they want to look in and they want to bear witness to this, you know, new thing.
Yeah. And hopefully some of them will decide they need to go ride Soarin' instead.
Yeah.
And cut down on the park. I did look up really quick. It looks like Soarin' opened in Epcot in 2005. So next year would be the 15th anniversary. And, you know, ending in fives and zeros, that's a great time to do these limited time offering sort of classic original Soarin'. And that also gives Disney plenty of time to get a lot of limited Soarin's 15th anniversary merch available.
Ding, 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 ding.
So I'm not saying that it's coming back to Walt Disney World. And remember, we actually talked about this when the change was happening, that we could see the possibility of having multiple films or being able to swap back whenever they wanted,
mm-hmm.
because of the way everything was set up, and they weren't really changing much.
They now do it in Star Tours, you know? Star Tours is random. What is Soarin' but a simpler Star Tours?
That's a fair point. So I don't know. I think that if there was a time to bring it back to Epcot, that feels like a really good time to, so maybe make your May 2020. Yeah, don't make reservations in May 2020 just because Brad said Soarin' over California might be coming back to Epcot. You might want to wait till that's announced, let's just say. But you can see that that's plausible, right?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And I would bet you money, Brad, that in 2025, Soarin', if it doesn't come back in 2020,
it's going, yeah.
The 20th anniversary, yeah, we'll have Soarin' over California. One last thing that got announced, and this, so Brad, you added this to our show notes with the sentence, I know PhotoPass discussions can be boring, but you gotta check out the Newcastle one. And I had not seen this before you posted it. And so, you know, you really set my expectations very low. But this new PhotoPass thing they're doing is crazy. It's really very cool. And I honestly don't understand how they're achieving it. But basically you go find,
So what they're telling you that you need to do is to go find the photographer located in the Plaza Garden.
Plaza Garden, that's what I couldn't find.
In the East Plaza Garden.
Right.
And they will help you with capturing two one-of-a-kind photos and a super zoom video from a unique angle above the theme park.
And when they say super zoom, it is, so the photo starts zoomed in on you and your family. And it's
taken from slightly angled up more than you would expect.
Right. But then like the video zooms out and the entire hub is in this photo. The castle, the hub, everything is just in this photo. And then it like zooms back in on you. Before we get into the technological aspects of it, this is awesome. I think this is great.
This is the kind of thing that makes me want to get PhotoPass.
Yeah, Memory Maker.
Yeah, sorry. To get Memory Maker, because as much as I have enjoyed a lot of the special things that they do, most of those things I could kind of take or leave. If I have Memory Maker, I'm definitely going to take advantage of them, but I'm not going to lose it. Not that I would probably lose any sleep over this either, but this is the kind of thing that could actually move the needle to make me say, yeah, why don't we get Memory Maker at least once so we can get one of these photos?
Mm-hmm. So I assume what they're doing is they're taking two photos. They're taking a zoomed in photo and a zoomed out photo, and then stitching, like, the video begins to zoom in on the zoomed out photo, and then it seamlessly switches to the zoomed in photo and finishes the zoom in. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it says two one-of-a-kind photos, and so if you look at the Disney Parks blog post in the show notes, you're going to see one photo that is your family from, as you said, pretty far away, and actually further away than what the video starts with, and then a second photo that is a fully zoomed out. And I think probably, again, from a technical standpoint, what's going on here is I think they probably have two cameras set up, one zoomed all the way out, one with a zoom lens on it.
Yeah.
And they fire both those photos at the same time. And then, like you said, the video stitches it together to give you this overall thing. And what I thought was so cool about this is, again, with PhotoPass, so much of the special photos is all CGI, right?
Yeah.
Or
let's hold out your hand and look at it like Tinkerbell's there.
Yeah. And again, those are really cool things, but when I first saw this photo, I thought, okay, so the computer is really smart. It cuts you and your family out and then pastes you in this stock photo of the hub. But then the more I looked at it, I looked and I'm like, these aren't, this doesn't look like a staged, if you were going to do a stage photo of the hub, this isn't the staged photo that you would use. And
you wouldn't have people in it.
Right. And the people who look like they're doing normal things. And then when I saw the two photos, I was like, oh, they're legitimately taking two photos and doing something really, really cool with it.
Yeah. No, they definitely are. And they're doing a great job. And yeah, this is definitely a Memory Maker selling point because you only get the Zoomy video if you have Memory Maker.
Yeah. So even, and I think that's the other advantage that a lot of these custom things have for Memory Maker is, yeah, you can go and have your photo taken by the PhotoPass photographer and they'll even take your camera, you know, they'll take your iPhone or whatever you give them and they'll take a shot. And what I like is most of the experiences that I've had, they take a good photo, right? Because there are some places that I've been to where if there's a photographer, and to some level I understand this, if there's a photographer taking a photo, they're going to take their time with their camera, and then they're going to take yours and snap it as quick as they can and go on about their day, right? And if somebody's eyes were closed or, you know, somebody had to sneeze right then, oh, well, too bad for you. I really feel like in most of my experiences, the PhotoPass photographer has actually taken the time to get a quality photo with my camera as well. But no matter how good the photo is, it's not going to be the super cool zoom photo. It's not going to have Tinkerbell in my hand. It's not going to have, you know, Mike and Sully standing next to me. So I like the things that they're doing to differentiate the service, and I want to see more of these Zoom photos. I mean, yeah, the you know, Little Mermaid picture where you're under the sea with Ariel is fun and all, but I want to see more of these really technically interesting, I think, to me, photos showing up.
I want to see a very, very zoomed reverse photo. I want to see what the camera setup looks like. Can somebody take a DSLR with a big old lens on it and take a photo for me?
Oh, I have a feeling that now that this has been announced, once it's live, which I'm assuming it doesn't say coming soon. It says it's live. In fact, I think this article, so we're recording on Thursday the 23rd. The article came out on the 22nd. We might even be able to look on Twitter right now and find somebody who took a picture. And if we haven't yet, probably sometime before this episode airs on Monday, I imagine that somewhere you will be able to find a picture of this camera setup. Somebody is going to find it because there are plenty of other people who are thinking the exact same thing we're thinking. That's cool. I want to see how it's done.
Where's BioReconstruct? He needs a helicopter photo of this thing.
Hey, if you pay a little extra, can BioReconstruct give you the special super duper zoom? Like, he takes a photo from the helicopter at the same time. Those two photos fire, and then you get a really long zoom video. I'd love to have one of those.
I'd do it.
You'd pay for two Memory Makers for that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe,
sure.
maybe not. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
That'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.